Welcome to the SwampSwami.com Sports Podcast. And today's story, are they going to fire the leprechaun in Boston? If you're a longtime fan of the NBA's Boston Celtics, you are accustomed to seeing a competitive basketball team on the court nearly every season. Historically, the Boston Celtics have won an incredible 17 National Basketball Association championships. Legendary coach and general manager Red Auerbach built a basketball empire on that parquet floor of the Boston Garden. The Bill Russell-era Celtics dominated the sport during the 50s and 60s by winning the league 11 out of 13 seasons. Woo! In the 1970s, Boston took home two more NBA titles led by John Havlicek and a cast of unselfish contributors. The Larry Bird-era Celtics of the 1980s would see Boston win three more NBA crowns during that decade, as the team never missed the playoffs one time in that 10-year span. Since 1987, though, the Boston Celtics have morphed back into a mere normal NBA franchise. There have been stretches of several non-playoff years during the 1990s, but also the last championship banner was raised in Boston Garden back in 2008 during the Paul Pierce era. There was one bridge linking the Boston Celtics championship seasons of the 1980s to that most recent banner back in 2008, and his name is Danny Ainge. Coming out of high school in Oregon in 1977, Danny Ainge was a true two-sport athlete. In addition to signing a basketball scholarship to play for Brigham Young University, Ainge was considered to be also a hot baseball prospect. While enrolled at BYU, Ainge would play basketball for the college team during the winter, but signed a contract to play baseball during the spring and summer for professional baseball's Toronto Blue Jays. He would make the team's major league roster as a utility player back in 1979 while he was still in college. Ainge then completed a stellar college basketball career, though, at BYU in 1981, as he averaged about 25 points a game as a senior. When the Boston Celtics selected Danny Ainge in the second round of the NBA draft in 1981, the Celtics would later buy out his baseball contract in Toronto. Danny Ainge had decided to make his mark in professional basketball with none other than the world-famous Boston Celtics. A three-point shooting specialist, Danny Ainge became a key performer on the Celtics championship teams of the 1980s. It didn't hurt to be playing on the same team, though, with future Hall of Famers like Larry Bird, Kevin McHale, Robert Parrish, Dennis Johnson, and Bill Walton. Not too bad. After his playing days ended, Danny Ainge entered the television broadcasting booth and provided color commentary for NBA games on TNT for one season. He then tried his hand at coaching. In his late 30s, the relatively young Ainge would take over the Phoenix Suns in 1996 and led the team to the NBA playoffs in each of his three seasons as coach. The Suns would win 60% of their games with Ainge as the coach. Suddenly, though, Danny Ainge quit the NBA coaching profession. Ainge, who is a lifelong Mormon, credited his need to retire from basketball when he began to feel like a hypocrite. He said, "I just lost touch with everything. All of my life, I'd preached balance and priorities, but basketball had totally consumed me. There are so many wonderful things going on in life, family life with my children, my friends, that I didn't even know I was missing out on." After taking a few years off to spend more time with his family, Danny Ainge once again, though, returned to basketball, again with the Boston Celtics. In May 2003, he was named the team's general manager and placed in charge of basketball operations for the team. Danny Ainge helped rebuild the Celtics into a competitor once again, around a longtime fan favorite, Paul Pierce. He traded away several players in order to bring in two very hungry for a title free agents to Boston. After grabbing big man Kevin Garnett from Minnesota and sharpshooting guard Ray Allen from Seattle, everything started to click again for the Boston Celtics as they won the 2008 NBA title. For all of his daring moves in rebuilding that team, Danny Ainge was named the league's Executive of the Year. Ainge credited the players' willingness to sacrifice for the benefit of the team as the reason for Boston's reboot. Quote, "And they did it the way Red Auerbach would have wanted it done," he said. "They played unselfishly." In Beantown, Celtics fans were proclaiming, "In Ainge we trust." 13 years later, Danny Ainge remains the general manager of the Boston Celtics. He added the successful college head coach, Brad Stevens, to lead the Boston Celtics in 2013 in an effort to revitalize his team with a fresh perspective on coaching. Some good news is that Boston has continued to reach the NBA playoffs in 11 of the ensuing 12 years after its last NBA title. The bad news is that Boston has reached the NBA Finals just one more time, losing to the Los Angeles Lakers back in 2010. Though Boston remains a competitive NBA team in most seasons, Celtics Nation has been growing restless for several years. They want their beloved basketball team to be better than pretty good in most years. Dealmaker Danny Ainge made a few more big deals over this last decade to try. Most have crashed and burned. Remember Kyrie Irving? Thankfully, he's gone after two long years in Boston, and he's become Brooklyn's head case now. What about Gordon Hayward? Well, after spending megabucks on the Utah forward, Hayward was injured early and often in Boston and never returned to form. Hayward is now playing in Charlotte. Danny Ainge may have lost his vaunted Celtics leprechaun touch in pulling the right strings to bring in the right type of free agents for Boston. A consolation prize is that the Celtics GM has found creative ways to gain additional first-round draft picks to stockpile young talent on draft nights. Though there have been a few draft night successes, like Jaylen Brown in 2016 and Jason Tatum in 2017, there have been a bunch of misses. Remember first-round picks such as Fab Melo in 2012, RJ Hunter in 2015, Ante Zizek in 2016, and Romeo Langford just in 2019. And so it goes. Boston continues to have good talent and a good coach, but a championship-caliber squad has yet to gel. With nearly half of this current season completed, Boston, which was picked by many to be a top contender this year, is languishing once again. In just the past week, the team blew a 24-point third-quarter lead in losing to New Orleans. And last night in Dallas, the Celtics allowed NBA All-Star Luka Doncic to knock down not one but two three-point shots in the final 13 seconds in yet another loss. Boston slumped below 500 at 15-16 for the year. Last weekend, Danny Ainge exposed his own frustrations to the public by blaming himself for Boston's inability to put the right pieces together to reach the NBA's pinnacle one more time. He said, "Our roster obviously is not good. There are no ifs, ands, or buts about it. That's who we are. If there's somebody to blame, this is Danny Ainge to blame. This is not Coach Brad Stevens' fault. It's not players like Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown. It's not good enough right now, and we all know that, and you know we need to get better." Okay. As a player in college and in the NBA, Danny Ainge was always fiery. He also played on a few championship teams in Boston, so he should know what the real problems in Boston are right now. The current roster of the Boston Celtics players, like most of the NBA, is filled with wealthy young men who play with more concern about their individual achievements and building an investment portfolio than in winning a team championship. NBA title contenders play like champions for the entire regular season, and they are ready then for even tougher battles in the playoffs. In my opinion, these Boston Celtics have more talent than Danny Ainge believes. The majority of this roster simply isn't willing to play hard enough every single night to compete for an NBA championship. Flashes of individual brilliance will not win a title in Boston or anywhere else in the NBA. The great Celtics teams of the past had an abundance of individual talent, a deep bench, but more importantly, those teams had a deep-rooted desire to do whatever it took to win every single night of the season. Many of the players who come into the NBA in recent years, after just one year of college, have not learned the teamwork skills necessary to compete for a bigger team goal. From an early age and through high school, too many of these young basketball players are only in it for the stats, the glory, and ultimately in the NBA, the big money. If a player's highest personal goals don't begin with winning a team championship, how can you expect him to sacrifice for the benefit of the team when he believes that a bigger personal paycheck will be based on his own personal stats? Like Michael Jordan and LeBron James both learned, the most prolific individual talent in the NBA cannot win a team title without sacrificing some personal stats in order to get the maximum contributions from his teammates. Here's a hint to you, Danny Ainge. Identify who your biggest stat stars are and trade them out. Then go find two or three hungry veterans who will do whatever this coach needs for him to do in order to compete to win a championship. Make it a roster of talented team guys and then go give it another try. If it worked out for you right in 2008, it might just work again too. It is the Celtics way. I'm Swamp Swami. Come back and see us.
give it all you got. Take your very best shot and may the best team win. The time is now, the name of the game is action. They're on the floor and they're ready to score, so let the game begin. And let's see how the ball's gonna bounce.